We've talked about being still and be prayerful and be little and be present to the Lord. All of those are parts of Teresa's little way. We can't exhaust her little way. It's the little way, but it's huge. There's so much. There are many other themes, but tonight we'll reflect on be grateful. Teresa was a grateful person. You saw it over and over again in her life. The way she was she always felt so blessed. One of her great statements, I can't quote it exactly because I didn't write it down, but she said, Jesus had to love us so much to give us the family we had. Grateful for her family. Lost her mother at age 4, but still a grateful person. Very grateful. And that's the beauty of a grateful heart is we avoid self-pity, we avoid jealousy, we avoid envy, we avoid greed. A grateful heart is able to be very open, positive, and giving. A grateful heart is part of the little way. Oftentimes, we forget to notice the blessings in our life. And it's true, you know. I stub my little toe, and the thing that's bugging me is that little toe. My 9 other toes are fine, but I don't worry or think about them. In fact, my fingers haven't been hurt at all. So I've got 19 digits that are totally fine, but the only one I'm thinking about is the one I stubbed. We tend to be that way with our lives, our experiences. We fail to notice the blessings, and we zero in on that one thing that isn't going quite right now, or that one thing that isn't perfect, or that one thing that it's bugging us because if it was me, I would do it that way, or whatever it might be. The little way requires a grateful heart. Thank you, Jesus, for my 19 unhurt toes and fingers. Thank you. It's a blessing. The little way is satisfied. The soul of the person practicing the little way is satisfied, happy for what he or she may have. Mother Teresa has countless stories of giving very little to poor people, and they were so grateful for what they had. They'd run out and divide that loaf of bread in half and give half the loaf of bread to the neighbor mother who has to feed her children too. That's a grateful heart. Oh, it's a charitable heart, but it first comes from a grateful heart. Grateful to have something to share. Grateful. To be grateful is extremely important. Therese was surrounded by a lot of nuns, and they were all imperfect. And she writes on and on about individuals who tried her patience a lot, but she always tried to be grateful that God made them and they were in her life. For some reason, he put them in the same monastery. They've got to be a gift. They've got to be a gift. God doesn't make mistakes. They've got to be a gift. So she was grateful and looked for the gift. Why would God put this person here with me? What is the gift that he wants me to have? And what gift am I supposed to be to that person, that other nun? God gave me this gift. She despised spiders. She didn't feel guilty or sinful about hating spiders. She just, they give her the willies. But every once in a while, it was her turn to clean the pantry. You know, they'd always get these list of duties, and she'd have to clean the pantry. She knew what she'd find. Spiders. A nice, dark pantry. But she'd do it. And what got her through it was, I ought to be thankful I have a way to serve my community. I need to be thankful that I even have skills, good legs and good hands to do such a thing. Some people can't clean a pantry, but God blessed me. I've got good health at the time she did. I've got good legs, good arms. I can do this. So she did it, even though there were spiders. To have a grateful heart. To be grateful, it is part of the little way. It helps us to be positive. It helps us to notice the blessings. It helps us to thank God. It helps us to be present to Him. You know, to present ourselves to Him. Not in a way like, I've got a bone to pick with you today, God. But rather to open up our hearts to Him. One of the grateful individuals I met in my life that I'll never forget is a woman down in Texas, San Antonio. I was on pilgrimage there, and her name was Olga. She was Hispanic background, very humble, very, you could tell, didn't have much. And I happened to meet her there at a parish down there, and because she was very involved with the parish. Olga had been part of the Mission Concepcion for a long time. It had been built in 1731 as one of the missions down in San Antonio. And she had been there, her family had been a part of the mission for generations. She was a poor, simple lady who would give herself totally to keeping up that little mission church. And she was excited to hear that I and some others who were with me were from St. Teresa Parish, the little flower parish, because she had a great devotion to St. Therese. She could not resist sharing with me her most treasured story. It is a story about Olga and her daughter, Laura. A few years earlier, so this is like 15 years ago, so a few years earlier than that, so it must have been about the mid-90s. A few years earlier than I met her, Laura was only 9 years old, and Olga and Laura were... This is going to get tongue-twisting. Olga and Laura. So mom and daughter were helping out at a Saturday parish rummage sale to support the mission. At this fundraiser for the church, Laura spied a small statue of St. Teresa. It was selling for only 25 cents because it was quite damaged and the head had been glued back on, you know, the type of statue. The head was glued back on, but Laura immediately began to pester her mother about buying that statue. Olga told Laura, "Stop bothering me about this statue. We are not here we're here to sell. We're not here to buy." But Laura kept bugging her mother about it, and so finally Olga said, "Okay, okay. Go buy the statue and leave me alone so I can work this rummage sale." So Olga gave her a quarter, 25 cents, and Laura ran off and bought the statue and brought it back and claimed her treasure. And then told her mother, "Tonight you have to tell me all about St. Teresa." And that Saturday evening, Olga told Laura all about St. Teresa. The typical statue has a crucifix in her arms, roses. She's a Carmelite, so all those things, who she was, and a Carmelite nun, and why she's got a cross there, because she embraced suffering, the roses, because she made this promise of sending down roses till the end of time. Laura listened carefully and told her mother, "Mother, someday St. Teresa will take me to heaven." Well, 2 days later, Laura and her grandfather, Olga's dad, were in a serious car accident. Both Laura and her grandfather died. So, in one single accident, Olga lost her father and her daughter. But something beautiful happened in that incident, or in the subsequent days. Olga stopped by the funeral home to view the body of Laura. She was very surprised to see that usually the mortician puts the crucifix maybe hanging on the lid that goes up, or probably props it in the back, but he had put it in her arms. And then, no one knows who, but some lady stopped by with some roses and put those in her arms as well. So when Olga finally came to see her daughter, she had there this picture of Therese. When she saw her adorned as Thérèse, she remembered her words, "Mother, someday Thérèse will take me to heaven." It was beautiful watching Olga tell the story. It had been only a few years earlier, but she told it with such joy, happiness, peace. She told it from a heart that wasn't bitter, angry with God or with someone else, however the accident occurred. She had a radiant face, a smile that communicated great confidence and trust in God. It was a smile that said, "Jesus, I trust you." And it was a smile that communicated gratitude that she had a good father, that she had a beautiful daughter, and that she received in this beautiful sign that her daughter is okay. Her daughter was decked up as Thérèse would have been, crucifix and flowers. In the end, who was actually holding the cross? Olga was. She was holding the cross. She had an unthinkable cross to bear, losing such close individuals. But she did it. And part of it was because she had a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude. She was truly, as I witnessed her and watched her and listened, she truly was living the little way of total confidence and trust in God. Mother Teresa of Calcutta worked a lot with gracious people, people of great gratitude. And she challenges us all in her writings to see the greatness of the poor people because they tend to be people of gratitude. She shared one of her own experiences concerning a woman in a most terrible condition. Mother Teresa said, "I did for her all that my love can do. And then I put her in bed, and there was a beautiful smile on her face. She took hold of my hand, and she said, 'One thing only, thank you.' And then she died." Mother Teresa says, "I could not help but examine my conscience before her. I asked, 'What would I say if I were in her place?' And my answer was very simple. I would have tried to draw a little attention to myself. I would have said, 'I am hungry,' or 'I am dying,' or 'I am cold,' or 'I am in pain,' or something like that. But she gave me much more. She gave me her grateful love. And she died with a smile on her face." That poor woman who was near death, and Mother Teresa was helping her, that poor woman was living the little way of childlike confidence and trust in God. Oh, did she know God? She may not have even been Christian, but she was living the little way. People of gratitude are countercultural. Everything about the little way is countercultural. Be still. This culture does not know how to be still. Be little. This culture doesn't know. And also, be grateful. People of gratitude are countercultural. And countercultural people will find a way to be holy in the most difficult situations, like Olga's situation, or like this dying woman that Mother Teresa took care of. One time Mother Teresa wrote this, really about having a heart of gratitude and being countercultural. She said this, "People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find sincerity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, she wrote, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. That's the heart of a grateful person. To be grateful, to be countercultural, to be little, to be totally trusting in God. There's no reason for us to live in this world with hearts full of angst because we wish it was better or this way or that way. We need to notice the blessings. We need to be satisfied. We need to thank the dear Lord. When we approach Him, we need to be saying so many thank yous. We tend to focus on the thing that isn't quite right, the one stubbed toe, and we forget about all that is good in life. Part of being a follower of Therese, part of living the little way is to be grateful.